Mark Allen. Good morning, everybody. Barbara tells me I have 7 minutes to explain about rate regulations, so I've cheated and given you some background information in the paper, but also some slides, so I'll very quickly whiz through the slides in 7 minutes. We'll pick up the detail in the breakout session. As noted on slide number two, we published a discussion paper last month, which has got a deadline for comments of January the 15th, 2015. The discussion paper, maybe unusually, does not propose a specific accounting model for accounting for rate regulation, because at this stage we would rather try and establish a common starting point for the discussions about what rate regulation is and how it affects the amount, the timing, and the certainty of the revenue, profit, and cash flows of an entity, and also to focus on what information is useful or most relevant to users of financial statements about those financial effects before we get into developing an accounting model in detail. On slide number three, this highlights that the background paper and the discussion paper have identified several types of rate regulation, including one that we're calling market regulation. This type of regulation sets a maximum price that can be charged for the goods or services being provided, but otherwise does not intervene with the management of the business. And we've been told that there really doesn't seem to be any desire or any need to develop any specific accounting requirements for that type of rate regulation. It's purely a cap on a price, but the management are free to manage the business how they like. So an example is, in some jurisdictions, banks are limited as to how much they can charge for processing credit card transactions, but otherwise they're free, they can charge below that price, they can do it for free, they can do whatever they want to get a competitive advantage. So we're not trying to establish accounting treatment for that type of regulation, but the discussion paper does ask whether you think that there should be special disclosure requirements if that applies. However, this morning, we want to focus, as the discussion paper focuses, on a particular type of rate regulation that we've called defined rate regulation. And the main features are highlighted starting on slide number four. And in this type of defined rate regulation, the rate regulator regulates not only the price to be charged for the goods and services by setting not just a cap, but also a floor on the price, or sometimes it is a specific price that is set by the regulator. But the regulator also regulates quite heavily the activities that the company actually performs in order to deliver those goods and services. And therefore, it has a heavy influence on the way the business is managed and the investment that the business makes in the assets that are needed to actually carry out those activities. This type of rate regulation applies in particular circumstances where there's very low levels of demand risk, or where the demand for the goods and services is very predictable. And this is because the goods and services being regulated are typically essential goods and services, commonly things like utilities, but could be other things, transport, telecommunications, a couple of different types of insurance we're aware of are subject to this type of regulation. And usually there is no effective competition to the supplier of these goods and services within the geographical area. So these things combine to get a very predictable level of demand. And in such cases, the rate regulator has to balance protecting the needs of the customers for these essential goods and services with the needs of the company to remain financially viable, because it's generally the only provider of these essential goods and services. So it's a balancing act. Slides 5 and 6 identify that this type of defined rate regulation has a rate setting mechanism that establishes the amount of revenue that the entity is entitled to earn in exchange for carrying out these various activities, both the direct activity of providing the goods and services, and also some complementary or supplementary services or activities it needs to perform as part of the regulation. And once the revenue or revenue requirement or allowable revenue is established, the regulator uses that to determine the rate per unit that's chargeable, and that rate per unit is fixed for a given period of time. Typically for 1 year, but it could be longer, occasionally it's shorter. And the predictable level of demand allows the rate regulator to use that fixed rate to protect customers from volatility in prices, but also if there needs to be a big shift in the price that needs to be charged to customers to give the company its necessary consideration, its revenue requirement, the regulator can use the rate to spread any large changes over a longer period of time, again, to make these goods more affordable to the customers. The rate is adjusted at intervals, as I've said, typically annually, but could be between 3 and 5 year periods. And in that time, obviously, things change, so the cost makeup of the company can change. There may be events that happen that weren't anticipated within the rate-setting mechanism at the time, and therefore, the next time the rate comes to be changed, there is an adjustment mechanism that allows the regulator to catch up on any differences that have arisen between the revenue requirement that was originally calculated and the amount of the consideration that's been billed to customers through that fixed rate per unit. And that adjustment mechanism is designed to make sure the company doesn't earn any more or any less than it's entitled to through its revenue requirement. And usually there's a targeted rate of return that attaches to that revenue requirement. In slides 7 and 8, I've put a couple of examples in just so that if people prefer in the breakout sessions to focus on some numbers, we can do that. Slides 9 and 10 highlight that the discussion paper does include some ways of thinking about the possibilities of developing an accounting model depending on the feedback that we get from the discussion paper. But we can pick up on those during the breakout session if you want to go into those in any more detail. And that, I think, is my 7 minutes.
Thank you, Jane.